Has anyone ever pointed out to you just how addicted you are with something in your life? And it literally could be anything. It could be a behavior, a way of life, a tendency, an attitude, or it could be an object. And often the object of our affection is something that we know is going to bring us pleasure. It's going to make us feel good. And who doesn't want to feel good, right? We all want to feel good. But often we will pursue this idea of pleasure because we know this particular thing is going to bring us pleasure. We are going to do well if we continue in this thing. And before we know it, habits are created. Habits create dependencies, and we are addicted. You know, when you walk into an Italian deli or bakery and you are drawn to the cheese cannoli, not the cream cannoli, but the cheese cannoli, and you could even just visualize the creaminess and the taste of this cannoli as you look at it in the casement window. That's an addiction. Now, everybody knows just how much pleasure and enjoyment one cheese cannoli can bring. And so it's easy for you to just continue eating those cheese cannolis because, you know, one is never enough. Now, that cheese cannoli can represent anything in your life, because we often have that philosophy of one is never enough, and we just continue and we partake, or we continue and we behave in the same way. And it might be even detrimental to us, but we're not thinking about that. We're thinking how much pleasure we are getting with this thing in our life. That, my friend, is addiction. Now, we can laugh about the cheese cannoli, but there's a lot of other things that maybe aren't as innocent as that cheese cannoli. And we need to evaluate how this addiction is affecting our life, and even what does this have to do with the Great Commission. So all this and more in today's podcast. I'm Damon Matichera. Let's talk missions. Hey everyone, welcome back to the show. I'm glad that you've tuned in. Today we're looking at the topic of addiction and how it connects to the Great Commission. Now I know it's not the first topic that is going to come to your mind when you're considering going and reaching others with the gospel, but nevertheless, it's a great topic, especially as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now often addiction is looked at in a very negative way, because an addict is really someone who has lost control. They've given themselves over. There's that dependency, that habit. And is there really ever a good time where you have lost control in that kind of way? I mean, how would you like it to be looked at as an addict? I don't think most of us would like that. But maybe there is a good usage of the word. Today, we're going to look at that in today's podcast. But before we get there, a quick announcement from the Matichera family. This week has been a really good week. Not every week is a good week. There are many weeks where you just want to end the week prematurely and just start over again. You want to erase everything and just pretend it never happened. Well, this week was not one of those weeks. We really enjoyed it because we made our big announcement with our Hope Zambia ministry base. Now, for those of you who have no idea what I'm talking about, let me fill you in. Well, for years now, we have been wanting to buy property. We've wanted to build not just a home, but a place where we can have a headquarters for our ministry. We want to have a print shop. We want classrooms. We want a studio for our radio broadcast. All of these different things we want to bring together to one place. And the reach of this ministry base goes far beyond what we want to do here in Zambia. We want to create partnerships with colleges stateside so that young men and women can come and we can have team housing, whether for 2 weeks or 2 months, short-term, long-term. And we can show people what the mission field is all about, to show them that this is an amazing life. And should God call you to be a missionary, you would only be so happy to answer that call. So we have been looking forward to doing this. Like I said, for years, it's been a dream of ours. but we haven't been able to act on it just because of our immigration status. But just recently, with having acquired the permanent residency, we now can buy and own land. So we have the green light to move forward in this way. We've been looking at different plots, but what's even more exciting is that the Lord's provided the funding for the land. And as soon as we find a plot that is kind of in the area that we're looking for, well, we're going to just pull the trigger on that and acquire something and move forward. Now, where we need help is for phase two. We need to secure the property right away with a fence. So just security, because we're going to be bringing things on the property. We're going to be starting to build. Even with the rains coming by the end of the year, we need to put up a structure to secure like cement, different supplies and tools. And then we also need to drill a well, put up a water tower, stuff like that. So we need to, a lot of security, security for the plot, security for our supplies and tools, and then water. And this would be stage two, phase two. Now we know we're not going to be able to build the entire ministry base, you know, in 1 year. It's not going to be something that we can probably do because, you know, even Rome wasn't built in a day. But if we can just get to phase two, then we'll be in a position where we can just start working. Even with the little that comes in, with what we have, we can begin the work. As long as everything is secure, then everything's great. We can move forward. We can, you know, pour slabs, work on foundations, do something a little bit here, a little bit there. And so pray with us as we look to accomplish this monumentous task. It's a big project and it's quite costly, but we know that God can provide. If you're interested in learning more about this, maybe even how you can help, go to our website at hopezambia.com. If you want to send me a text message or you want to even call me or whatever, you can reach me at area code 585-333-9586. So this is going to be a really good year as we progress with this project, because as this ministry base grows and expands, our reach and our influence is also going to grow and expand. And so we're excited, and we hope you're excited for us, but please continue to pray as we move forward with the gospel of Christ in Zambia and throughout sub-Saharan Africa. Now, again, back to our podcast with this topic of addiction. You know, addiction is a big deal. And like I mentioned earlier, it's often looked at in a negative way. When discussing this topic, our minds usually go to common vices dealing with alcohol, drugs, or even pornography. We typically think of a compulsive or a harmful dependency or immoral behaviors. Addiction is not usually a word that you would say, yeah, I want to be an addict. I mean, it's a negative word because it infers an abandonment of control. When you look at an alcoholic, someone who has given themselves over, and they would do whatever they can just for another drink, just for another cup of that vice. When you look at a gambler, how many gamblers have you heard of that lost everything? Maybe they gambled away everything that they owned, including their home, including their possessions, and everything, their vehicles, and they lost because of that addiction. Addiction is often yielding control of our bodies, our minds, and our senses. So when we look at addiction, we have to understand here that addiction is not often a good thing. In fact, in most cases, it's a very bad thing. But when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, this is where things kind of change, because we have a use of the word addiction, but it's in a good and positive way. I want to read this passage for you. The Bible says, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanas. Now, Paul here is writing, just to kind of bring you up to date with where we are here. The Apostle Paul is writing, and he's writing about this man, Stephanas. And he's writing to the church at Corinth saying, hey guys, you know very well, you know the house of Stephanas, you know this guy. And I know some of you right now are thinking, Stephanas, who is Stephanas? I mean, we don't know Stephanas. We hope they did. They did. They knew him very well. But a lot of people are not aware of this man, Stephanus. He was a really good guy. He's one of those guys that you don't really read a whole lot of about him in the Bible, but what you do read is really good. And so Stephanus here, he was involved in so much in the Apostle Paul's ministry, especially as he went into Achaia, and that is where Paul first met him. Stephanus was Paul's first disciple in Achaia. Now, where's Achaia? Achaia is the province in which you find the city of Corinth. Okay, so you have the city of Corinth. We know that. That's the book of 1 Corinthians. And Achaia is just the larger area of around the city. And so Paul led Stephanus to the Lord on his first trip there, and he got saved. And you know when you lead someone to the Lord? I hope you've led someone to the Lord. But when you lead people to the Lord, sometimes you look at certain people and you're like, I wonder if they really got it. I wonder if they really understood and if they really accepted Christ because, you know, maybe after some time, you just don't see any fruit and you're wondering, you know, did they really believe? Did they really understand? Did it really catch? But that's not the case with this man, Stephanus. Stephanus, yeah, he was that first convert. But when we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7, Paul is writing saying, hey, I got your letter that you wrote me. And you're thinking, what letter was that? There's no mention of any letter. You know, there's no other letter. There's no letter of Stephanus. But the people in the Corinthian area, they wrote the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians is a reply to that letter. And it was Stephanus and some other men who probably wrote the letter and delivered it to Paul. And we're going to talk more about this in a little bit. But they delivered it to Paul. So Paul read this letter that Stephanus is bringing to him. And Paul is, you know, in his reply in Corinthians, he's writing to the church saying, listen, I'm thankful for this guy, Stephanus, because he's filling me in. He's telling me how things really are. And he's doing a better job than you're doing. So Stephanus was the one who kind of had that care for the church at Corinth, where no one else really cared for their state and their spiritual condition. Stephanus really did care. He had questions, and he wrote them down. He brought those to Paul. And then Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, gave the letter to Stephanus, and Stephanus and a few other men returned back to Corinth with this letter of 1 Corinthians. And that's what we're reading here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. Paul writing again, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanus. Now, look at there again. It says the house of Stephanus. Remember that. Ye know the house of Stephanus. That is the first fruits of Achaia. He was one of the first saved, the first that accepted Christ. And that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. So there it is, right there. That use of the word addicted. They were addicted. And it's not that they were addicted, but they addicted themselves. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means there's a choice. When you become an addict, well, you do so by choice. When you partake in anything, you have done that by choice. You know, there was a man one time, and he was caught in adultery. And I was in a taxi here in town in Chapada, and the people were saying, ah, yeah, this man, he was caught in adultery. But it wasn't really his fault because the spirit of lust just came upon him, and that spirit forced him to commit this particular sin. And I was like, wait a second here. Now, this man committed adultery because he chose to give in to his lust. He made that choice. He made that decision to sin and to follow after his base desires. Everything in your life is going to be a choice. Please understand this. Nothing is going to happen, you know, just out of the blue. You are who you are today because of who you've chosen you want to be. Everything about you, how you are defined, is based on the decisions that you have made. And so it is with Stephanus and his household. When we look at this man, and not just him, but remember it says the house of Stephanus. This man is mentioned a few times in the Bible, and almost every time, it's always in reference to the house of Stephanas. The whole family, they got it. The whole family was on board with the Apostle Paul's teaching, with the doctrine of the apostles. They wanted to do whatever they could do to move forward for Christ. And not only that, but they wanted to help other people. They lived in this area of Achaia, and they had a heart to reach people with Christ. They had a heart to make sure that this church, the church in Corinth, was growing and thriving, and that people understood the truth from God. And you know, when you become an addict in a good way, like Stephanas here, when you become addicted to the ministry of the saints, when you become addicted to God, when you have such an overwhelming desire that that desire controls everything about you, just like when you go for that cheese cannoli and you are just envisioning the pleasure that you're going to get with every bite of that creamy cheese, well, in the same way, when you can visualize how pleased God is going to be with your actions as you follow Him and as you live by faith and as you live in the power of His Spirit, when you live in victory, when you live that abundant Christian life, knowing that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, knowing that God is in control and that God can see and watches everything that we do and that He is pleased. And one day we can meet with Him as we bow before Him and hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear. And I think, you know, a lot of times we can even visualize that "well done." I mean, every child loves to have words of affirmation, and that, so it is with the child of God. Just to know that God is pleased should be all that we need to move forward, to get us addicted with wanting to please Him even more. And knowing that He's pleased should bring pleasure to ourselves. I should be pleased knowing that God is looking favorably on my life and my choices and who I am and what I've decided to do. And so notice that Stephanas here in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15, he is addicted. And this addiction is affecting the people around him. Addiction always affects people around you. If you're involved in an addiction in a negative way, there's, like I said, there's many bad addictions out there, harmful addictions. They always tend to affect the people around them, sometimes even in a bad way. But when we look at this good addiction, this being addicted to the ministry of the saints, this is a good addiction, and it's affecting the people around Stephanas in a really, really good way because the church is being built up. Paul even mentions how refreshed he was in chapter 16 because of Stephanas. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, a man like Paul being refreshed because of your presence, because of the work that you're doing, because of your words, because of just your friendship. That's the kind of guy that Stephanas was. He's affecting people all around him. He had an effect on Paul. He had an effect on the church at Corinth. He had an effect on his family because the whole house of Stephanas is involved with this addiction. It's not just him. Sadly, a lot of times when someone, you know, catches this excitement and zeal for God, you know, maybe some other people in the family, they just don't get it. And surely following God is a choice. You can't have the dad make a choice and the family just naturally are going to do it. But when the family can see this love for God, when the family can see this desire, yeah, this addiction, if you will, then they could look at it and say, you know, I want that. And that's actually what happened to me being a missionary here in Zambia. Growing up, we wanted to be involved in missions, and namely, my dad wanted to be involved in missions. He was addicted to the ministry. He went through Bible Institute. He was involved. He ran the Crisis Pregnancy Center. He did so many different things. He, at first, was going to go to Alaska, and when that didn't work out, we ended up in Zambia. But watching him, he definitely had this addiction to serve God. And I looked at that and I wanted that as well. that addiction sometimes is contagious. And with you, your addiction will be contagious. Have you ever, maybe you bought a phone, or maybe you bought something, it doesn't have to be a phone, you know, but maybe you bought a phone, a brand new one, and then you brought it to work or to church, and everyone is oohing and aahing over the phone. They're looking at the phone, they're admiring the phone, and it makes them want to go and buy one. Or maybe it's a new shirt or a dress, or it could be that cheese cannoli. You know, you're eating that cheese cannoli, or you're drinking that cup of coffee, and people around you are like, man, I would be happy too if I had a cheese cannoli. And they visualize even, you know, how happy they would be if they had that cheese cannoli or that coffee or the coffee and the cheese cannoli. I mean, there's so many options here. But it's contagious. Addiction is often contagious. And you are probably going to influence people with your addictions. If you're addicted to sports, if you're addicted to certain activities, you're going to bring other people with you. And that is what we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 15. We find this man who is bringing other people with him. He is committed. He is sold out for God. And it's affecting those in his influence. Let me ask you a question today. How are you affecting people around you? How? Are you bringing them closer to God? Are you helping them? Or are you just affecting people in a normal sense of the way? Are you just affecting them so that they can go out and buy the latest gadget? They can be up to date with the latest sports stats, or they can be, you know, following the latest trends because maybe you're a trendy person, or maybe they can know the latest lingo because your vocabulary is so up to date. You know, how are you affecting people around you? When people look at you, do they look at you as someone that loves God? And you love God so much that you're addicted. And they just have to look at you, and you are defined by that love for God. And they know that you're willing to do anything because of that love. And that love drives everything that you do, every choice, every decision. And they know that if they had a question about God, you're the person to go to, because they know that you know God. They know that you have a relationship with him. Is that you? Are you so addicted to God that people even know it? You know, we know that with addiction usually has a sense of power. There's, when we are addicted to something, that object of our affection has power over us. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible says, "All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any." Now, please understand one thing. We should not be brought under the power of anything except God. That exception there. Now, some people, they literally say, "I will not be brought under the power of anything, including God. There is no authority that I will submit to. I will not submit to my parents. I will not submit to my boss. I will not submit to my pastor or the people in my life." There is such a movement today that is against any kind of authority in any sense. Now, this is not just talking about authority, obviously, but this could be anything, any kind of thing in your life. It could be a cup of coffee. It says, "I will not be brought under the power of any," the influence, the power. You know, when you are addicted to something, that thing has power over you. It has control over you because you have a dependency on it. And we use this verse a lot when we talk about addiction. You know, when you have that cup of coffee, every morning I wake up, I have this cup of coffee, and the coffee beans are grown here in Zambia. I have a friend of mine, he grows these coffee beans. They're fresh. I grind them. You could just smell the flavor of the coffee. We have fresh milk from the farm. And that cream just rises to the top. We skim it off so that we can have the fresh cream in that coffee, just blending together. It is an experience. And often coffee, people say, "Hey, you're addicted to coffee." You know, maybe I am. But every once in a while, I take a break. I kind of cleanse my body, my system of the caffeine. because you can become addicted to coffee. Now, right now I'm talking about the caffeine aspect of the coffee, because if you don't get your cup, then you'll get this migraine, this headache, and then you have to ask the question, does this coffee have power over me? Now, again, this is just an innocent example of something that really could be in your life. But a lot of people with coffee, it's a social status. It's not so much the caffeine, but it's the position of being a coffee drinker. And they'll drink their coffee. They'll take pictures of themselves drinking the coffee. They'll take pictures of the cup, just on the table with the right lighting and shadows. And they'll spend $8 a shot drinking their coffee. You say, hey, that's an addiction. Yeah, it is an addiction. But, you say, well, can't we enjoy ourselves? Can't we just enjoy a cup of coffee? Well, sure you can. There's nothing wrong with coffee. I drink it every day. In fact, I have my cup somewhere over here. I think I put it aside. But there's nothing wrong with coffee. Just like there's nothing wrong with so many things around us. I think God has given us these things to enjoy. But we take these things, and instead of just simply enjoying them, we become obsessed. We become just so fixated on these things, and they become the object of our affection. Do you know how much money we spend on coffee every day? Do we spend that kind of money on God? Do we spend that kind of money on missions, helping people to know Him and to move forward in their walk with Him? Are we spending that much of our concentration trying to get our coffee just right? Well, do we spend that time investing in people? So we have to understand here, sometimes our priorities are out of order, and that's kind of what addiction is all about. When you look at a gambler who is addicted to gambling, well, his priorities are out of order. And you would look at him and you would say, hey, man, get your priorities in order. I mean, do you want to lose your house? Do you want to lose all these things in your life? I mean, is it worth, that one more bet just so you can fulfill that addiction? Well, remember, people who are addicted, they don't have any control a lot of times, and they have yielded control, and they're just kind of on autopilot following this control. They are dependent on fulfilling this desire because they want to feel good. Well, as the Christian, we should want to be under the power of God. We should want to submit ourselves to God and to be under His influence so that the Spirit is bearing witness with ours that we are the children of God. So what kind of Christian are you today? Now, addiction takes many shapes, many forms, and our minds immediately go a lot of times to these immoral actions that are easy to condemn. It's easy to condemn, a drunk. It's easy to condemn someone who's gambling. It's easy to condemn, the person who's into pornography. Those are really just out there, and maybe you're involved in that kind of stuff. If you are, please seek help. Don't try to do it alone. Don't try to get over it alone. You need people in your life. You need people of God to help you bring you closer to God. But a lot of times, there are other things that hit closer to home when we're talking about addiction. It could be our phone, like we talked about earlier. The average American spends 7 hours a day on the phone. 7 hours every day. I was talking to someone about this, and they said, well, when do they work? When do they live? And I was thinking, they don't. People who are on a screen, whether it's watching a movie, on their computer, on their iPad, on their phone, any kind of device, people who live on their device, they don't have a life, let alone a life lived for God. You need to go on your phone and take a look at your settings under your screen time and find out how many hours per day you're on your phone. And then ask yourself, hey, how much time am I reading my Bible? How much time am I investing talking to people throughout the week so that they can know about God? How much of my life is invested in sending the gospel across the ocean into the regions beyond? How much time of my life is spent sending the gospel to my neighbor? And so when we ask ourselves these questions, a lot of times we're going to get answers that we maybe are not comfortable with, because we are addicted to so much in this life. So much, I call it fluff. It's just you know, things that don't matter. You know, you could watch the football game, and yeah, at the end of the day, you've watched a football game, and maybe you enjoyed it, and maybe you didn't. Maybe you were satisfied, maybe you weren't. Maybe your team won, maybe they didn't. Who knows? But how do you gain at the end of all of that? I mean, how do you gain? What have you gained? I mean, have you developed a relationship with someone? Have you received anything of substance? Probably not. You know, with social media today, they have made this terminology. You know, you have the phone, and a lot of times people, they scroll. Well, I think they've called that, what do they call it? Doom scrolling? I think they call it doom scrolling. I could be wrong. You can correct me if I'm wrong. And it's basically you get your phone and you're on Facebook or Instagram and you're just scrolling. You know, it's like you can scroll forever just looking at all these different feeds as they come into your timeline. And you can go on and on and on reading about what everyone is writing, and everyone has something to say about whatever. And you know what that is? It's an addiction. It's an addiction. You just scroll and you scroll for hours. Hey, 7 hours a day on a screen right there, and you scroll. You know, maybe it's a video game. Do you know people live their lives in these alternate realities, especially with these MMO games that they never end? You know, back in the day when I was younger, we had video games. There was a beginning and there was an ending. But now with these MMO games, especially in the phones, they don't end. There is no end to the game. They just continually move forward. And you are just involved in a different reality. There are people from all over the world, and you interact with them just as you would interact with people down the street or in your church or at the gym. But you've created this false reality, and there's that addiction. You know, with any kind of addiction, especially harmful addictions, people are trying to escape reality. Whether we're talking about, you know, being addicted to your phone, social media, video games, this or that. Often, not all the time, but often people are just trying to escape reality because they're not happy. They're not happy. They are just miserable people trying to find happiness. And that is what leads to addiction, because they want pleasure. And so they want to make decisions that are based on finding pleasure. And they think that if they can just do this one thing, that they're going to be happy. And so they follow after these addictions in their life, hoping that they'll get some joy at the end of it. But often they don't. You know, the Bible says the eyes of man are never satisfied. And we're not. We can hope for something, and then when we get it, it's just not as good. I mean, have you ever experienced that before? Maybe even watching a movie. You've been, you know, so psyched about this one movie that's going to come out, and you're really excited. You've watched the trailer, and you go there, and you're thrilled, and then you're like, oh, man, that wasn't really a good movie. I didn't really enjoy that. And you kind of leave with disappointment. And that is how so much in this life will leave you. When you go after things, when you go after all that this world has to offer, you're going to just be reaching for something that you will never possess. You're going to be looking for joy and looking for happiness through this world, and it's never going to be able to fulfill that desire for satisfaction. Because only God can. Only God can give you true fulfillment. Only God can give you true satisfaction. And it's a life that's lived for Him. And if you're living your life for yourself, if you're just following after your base desires, wanting to fulfill your pleasure and self-gratification and all of that, and that is what's governing your life and not the Spirit of God, well, then you are addicted to pleasure. You are addicted to that lifestyle, that indulgence, and you're seeking after just fulfilling the desires of your flesh. Hey, you could want it all. Maybe you're looking for the American dream. Maybe you're ever searching, ever reaching for just that perfect life, that dream, what were they call it? Your forever home, the dream car, the white picket fence. You know, those are all symbols in our society of just you having arrived. Well, you could You could spend your whole life trying to get those things. But if you sacrifice your walk with God to get those little things, then you've lost. You're the one who's lost. Because you can get it all. You can possess it all, but at the end, you'll lose your own soul. And so follow God. Let me encourage you today, be an addict, but not with the things of this life, not the things of this world. Don't follow after these things. Don't be brought under their control, but rather today, give yourself to God. Let Him be Lord of your life. I'm not saying that you have to get saved unless you do. I mean, obviously everyone should repent, but maybe you're already saved is what I'm trying to say here. Maybe you're already saved. You've already accepted Christ, but He's not Lord of your life. He's not that number one. He's not the highest priority. He doesn't have that place of honor in your life. Would you give Him that today? Would you surrender to Him today? Would you be like Stephanus? What a guy. Him and his family, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Stephanus, he understood what was really important in life, and he got around the right people. What kind of people are you around today? Stephanus, his associates were the other disciples, the other people in the area that were really dedicated to God, including Timothy. His mentor was the Apostle Paul. He had good company, and that's kind of what happens. Birds of a feather all flock together. What kind of friends do you have? And what are your shared desires? What are you all trying to achieve in your life? Are you trying to achieve greatness, or are you serving a great God? So today, we have looked at this topic of addiction. We've just started. This is kind of like just the beginning, the intro, if you will, of the topic. So we're going to be continuing next week as we look at this man again, Stephanus, different aspects of his addiction, and hopefully we can examine our own lives and learn a thing or two. But Stephanus, he's one of my heroes. He's one of the unsung heroes of the Bible. But today you have learned about him, and so don't forget him. Remember him. For 2,000 years, we've had his example, and it should be remembered. And how he addicted himself to the ministry of the saints. So thanks again for tuning in to today's podcast. If you want to get more information, like I mentioned earlier, we have this whole ministry base coming up that we want to build. And it is a monumentous task. And we can't do it alone. It's really through the funding from individuals like you and churches, organizations that have partnered with us that allows us to do everything that we do here in Zambia, Africa. So again, if you want to learn more about our ministry or about our family, then go to our website at hopezambia.com. And you'll have everything right there at your fingertips. Write us a letter. You can go there on the contact page and let us know what you think and where you're at. And we would love to hear from you. And again, if you want to send a text message, you can text or even call at 585-333-9586. So again, thank you for tuning in. It has been a good day. I'm glad that you've joined us today. And next week, hopefully we'll be continuing. I do have to go out to the village for one of our major conferences of the year at Chiambukizo. But if we can be back next week, we will. And if not, we'll continue in 2 weeks. So until then, I'm Damon Matichera, and you've been listening to the Let's Talk Missions podcast. Take care, and God bless.